Hi guys, Rick Bradby here. Just want to do a quick video for you today to take a look at the Canon 430 EX2 Speedlight. This is in preparation for the up and coming tutorial videos dealing with flash, both the inbuilt one and an external speedlight mounted on the 500DT and IKS X3. Bear with us on those, we're waiting for the ideal conditions to shoot those on location when it's not windy or chucking down with rain. So before we have a closer look at this speedlight, I would just like to point you towards the t-shirt that I'm wearing. Shameless plug here, okay. You can get these t-shirts on newtophoto.com. We have a store up there now, and the top right hand side of the menu, t-shirts, where you can purchase various different designs. We've put that up on newtophoto to give something back to the community as well, and any t-shirts which are sold also help us towards the hosting and so forth, but please understand there's no obligation. This t-shirt that I'm wearing at the moment is in large, and it is the white balance t-shirt, auto white balance, cloudy, tungsten or incandescent white balance, and the lightning bolt thingy, otherwise known as flash white balance. Okay, so you can head over there and take a look at the designs. We've got some cool designs up there, including one which says Say Cheese, which is quite cool. So head over and have a look at those t-shirts. So what we'll do now is we'll have a look at the Canon 430 EX2 Speedlight. Okay, just taking a look at the Canon 430 EX2, and we'll have a look at what we get. Obviously you get a manual in the box as well, which I don't have with me at the moment, but you get it in a case, okay, and inside the case you have the speed lights and a little foot for standing it up or attaching it to light stands or spigots. So I'll just throw these down there for now. Bear in mind, mine's got writing on and bits of Velcro because it's used, the Velcro is used for certain light modifiers, and the writing of my initials is just so I know it's mine if I'm doing a group shoot, for example. Okay, the Canon 430 EX2, it's the second generation 430 flash, so it is the current latest one. They haven't actually replaced it yet. It's not Canon's top of the line speedlight. The top of the line one is the 580 EX2 at the moment, well, that's a very expensive flash. It has a guide number of 43, okay, and that's just in relation to its maximum output at a certain distance and range. And the guide numbers are measured when the flash is head is zoomed to 105mm, so it's telephoto zoom, and on full power. Okay, and it's 43 meters, I believe, the distance that it will work. Was it feet?
It's feet.
Feet. Okay, 43 feet. Thank you, Mark. Okay. Now you may well notice on the head on the 430 EX2, you can actually articulate it to bounce it off walls or ceilings like so, which is quite handy. Not all speedlights will allow you to do that. Okay. It also has a wide panel. By default it's zoomed to 24mm on the reflector inside of the head, and that's how wide the spread of light is. As you pull that out, the wide panel is now 14mm. That will use up some amount of light. You'll lose about a stop when you use that. Okay. It's a fully ETTL flash, so it works with through the lens metering, so it's automatic flash exposure. Okay, and it can also be used as a full manual flash as well. With it being a ETTL based flash, it can be used with off-camera wireless controllers such as Canon's STE2 or a 580 EX or EX2 as a master, or inbuilt flash controllers on the Canon 60D or 7D as well to control that as a slave. So it's a very, very good flash unit. They are quite pricey as they go, around £200, but they're well built. This has survived a couple of falls off very, very high light stands and it's still working so far, although I have lost a little black cover there. War wounds, okay, but overall I've been very, very happy with this. So what we'll do, we'll take a closer look now at some of the buttons and features on the speedlight for you. Okay, so we'll take a quick look now at the 430 EX2 speedlight, just to look around the actual body of it. You will notice that it has a metal foot, which is nice because it's a lot stronger than the speedlights with plastic ones. At the base of it here you can see that it has a locking mechanism which will lock the speedlight onto either a wireless trigger, a light stand or umbrella bracket, or of course your camera, should you mount it on top. Now looking around the side of the body, or side of the speedlight first, we have here the battery door, okay, which takes 4 AA batteries. It's got a graphic there which tells you which way up that they go. Now the batteries which I'm using at the moment are Sanyo Eneloops. They're a great rechargeable battery, hold the charge really well, and you get nice fast recycling times, so it's well worth investing in rechargeables and a charger once you start using speedlights. Looking around the side here, that's the release, so we can actually angle the head of the flash like so, or articulate it. and on the other side, this usually has a little black cover on. I've lost mine due to it falling 13 foot off light stand, so God knows where that went. But it's just literally to mount a bracket should you want to get the camera, the flash off camera at any point. Canon do make brackets. I've never used them, I probably never will, to be honest with you, because I'll probably just hand hold it if I do that with a TTL cord. Looking at the front of the speedlight, that's the autofocus assist beam, okay, as well as the sensor once the speedlight is working in slave mode. That's the actual flash head there. Some little plastic diffuser, if you like, or reflector. There is a reflector inside there, and the flash head will zoom in or out depending on your settings. The wide panel that you saw at the start of the video is there and just simply pulls down. Do be fairly careful when you're using that. Don't be too rough, because you know, it will break, or if it gets dropped or caught whilst that's out, it may well snap. Okay. Looking around the back of the speedlight, we can see that's the name of it on top there. You may be able to see, or hopefully you can do, it would be nice if they were a different colour, but there's figures there, 45, 60, 75, and that's the degree that you have the head tilted up when you're bouncing flash. We have an LCD panel on the back as well, a light bulb symbol there, that turns the LCD backlight on should you be using it in the dark. Custom function will take you into the custom function menus, which we'll have a look at in a moment. Flash mode, high speed sync or second curtain sync, you can switch between those, or normal operation. The zoom of the flash head, that's the pilot light, which glows red when it's ready to fire, and you can test it by pressing that. The LED below that is a green LED which confirms good exposure when using TTL. There's a minus button and a plus button when you're changing the power, as long as the select and set. You use that in combination to adjust the power, the zoom of the flash head and so forth, which we'll see in a moment. Obviously the on-off switch as well. So we'll just fire this thing up now. There we go. What you'll hear when you turn this thing on is a little bit of a noise. It's a mechanical noise of the flash head zooming back into position. Currently at the moment on mine it's set at 35mm, and that's just where it was when I was last using it. Now, if I press this button here, you may or may not see that LCD lights up. It only lights up briefly, just so you can see what settings you've got the flash on. The little symbol here, custom function, is because I have custom functions enabled on the flash, more so to prevent the flash from going to sleep when it's sat on a light stand. You can tell it to go to sleep after 10 minutes, 60 minutes, or to not go to sleep at all. I prefer it to not go to sleep, because it can be quite annoying when you're setting multiple light setups and you go, right, here we go, first shot, oh, why is that not firing? Because you know, you spend 10 minutes messing around with your wireless triggers and batteries until you realise that your flash has gone to sleep. The mode there is saying that it's in manual mode. I can actually change that by pressing the mode button to ETTL. Again, that's automatic flash exposure, or manual mode. And that reads out the current power setting. It's currently at 1/16th power plus 1/3, so 1/16th plus 0.3 EV. Okay, if I press the select button and hold it, I can then increase the power of the flash like so. That's 1/8 power. I can go up a third of a stop, third of a stop, and then we're at a full stop, 1/4 power, and that just takes you through there up to full, and then pressing the minus takes you back down the power settings as well. The button layout for changing power can be a little bit fiddly, takes a bit of getting used to because they're slightly recessed. I think that's just to stop accidental pressing of the buttons, really. You just need to get used to the feel of those when you've got the thing stuck in a softbox and you're doing it blind. The next button along is for high speed sync. Okay, so high speed sync is for using higher shutter speeds than your sync speed with your flash, although that does reduce power because the flash has got to send out multiple strobes to make a good exposure or to fill the frame with light. So high speed sync symbol there, a little lightning bolt with a H, or we can go second curtain sync, which is the three arrows with one solid black arrow there. That means that the flash will fire at the end of the exposure instead of at the beginning, to create effects of someone moving very, very fast through the frame. You know, I'm not going to go into too much detail on those, but that's how you change those modes. The flash zoom button, okay, now you can see the zoom function flashing there. I can now use these buttons to change it to 50, 70, 180 or 105mm. The speed light will zoom alongside with the lens that you're using, or if you're using a telephoto lens on your camera, you can change the mode so it will automatically zoom to the appropriate focal length lens that you are shooting with. And it does also take into effect the crop sensor, or the crop effect of your APS-C sensor DSLR, so it knows when you're shooting full frame or crop basically. Okay, and that's just a basic introduction to the layout of the speedlight. What we'll do in the next section is we'll have a quick look at some of the custom functions and some of the ones which I have set and the reasons why. The reason why I'm going to do it in the next section is because I need to have a quick look at the manual myself, because the custom functions aren't named when you look through them on the speedlight. They've just got numbers, and I don't know anyone that can remember what they all are. So we'll have a look at those now. Okay, so what we'll do, we'll have a look at the custom functions on the 430EX2. As you can see from the instruction manual here, or the page that's showing, it is just a big list of numbers, or custom function numbers with a value of 1 or 0 to determine what or how that custom function is set. So there's no real name correlation when you're looking through them on the speedlight. So if we press and hold the CFN button on the back of the speedlight, it will go into the custom functions menu. You can see in the back here, custom function number 0 is set to 0, which is distance indicator displayed in meters or feet. That's basically your subject distance. Okay. As we go through the next one, custom function 1 is set to 1, which means the auto power off feature is disabled to stop the thing from going to sleep. Custom function number 2 is the modelling flash. Ridiculous feature, because basically what it means is when you press either the pilot button on the flash or the depth of field preview button on your camera, depending on how you have this custom function set, it strobes the speed light so you can see where the light's going to fall. It's very, very annoying, very uncomfortable for your subjects if you're taking portraits. If you're taking pictures of pets or animals, they're likely to run away, and either that or you're going to give them an epileptic fit. So generally I don't bother using it. Currently mine is custom function number 2 set to 0, so it's only enabled on the depth of field preview button at the moment, so I'm actually going to change that. So I'll press and hold the select or set button, and I'm going to change that to value 3, which is then disabled, because I'm never going to use it. Okay, next one is custom function number 7. You might be wondering where the hell did number 3 go. That's just how they're numbered. Okay, now number 7 is the test fire with auto flash. It'll either be full output or at 1/32nd power. I always have mine set on 0, so it's just using less battery power basically. Custom function number 8 is the AF assist beam. That's a auto focus assist beam. If you're taking pictures in low light and your camera is struggling to lock on, it will fire what appears to be like little red laser grids, if you like, just to give the camera a point of contrast to focus on. And the AF assist beam currently is enabled on mine, so if it's needed it will fire. Custom function number 9 is the auto zoom for sensor size. I have mine set to 0, so that's actually enabled. So basically if you stick the speed light on a full frame camera, then you change and put it on a crop sensor camera, say you're going from a 5D Mark II to a 7D, then it will know what kind of camera it's on and what size sensor is in the camera. Custom function 10 is slave auto power off timer, set to 0 for 60 minutes. Now this is only when it's active as a slave. When you're using a commander like the STE2 or a 550EX, 580EX or EX2 as a master on your camera. The 500D that I've got doesn't work with those. Now custom function number 11, slave auto power off cancel, is either within 8 hours or within 1 hour. I've set mine to 0. Custom function number 14 is the flash range and aperture info, and that either displays the maximum distance or the aperture display. I've just left mine set to 0 for maximum distance. So like I said, really the custom functions are very, very unclear on the speedlight, so it's worth keeping your manual in your bag so you can kind of refer back to that. Once generally you've set all these up, it's rare that you'll need to change them. Might have been set as they are for quite some time, so it doesn't make much difference really. So that's just a quick walk around the Canon 430EX2 speed light. I've not gone into high speed sync or second curtain sync features because you need to have it on camera and shoot a demonstration for those. And this is just a quick guide around the speed light. So thank you very much for watching. If you've got any questions, then drop me an email or stick it in the comments. And don't forget to go over and to NewtoPhoto and check out the t-shirts in the store. Subscribe to the channels at NewtoPhoto, and we will see you guys soon. Thanks for watching.